want to be in. So you should turn the speaker off also. It should be muted in and the speaker off.
Hey. I think this did it. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Thank you.
Okay, we can. So, are there any questions? No. You're not. You can hear it on the app. It's muted yet. No, that's fine. It has to be far away and muted, and because otherwise you get the feedback. Yeah, it wouldn't work if it's too close. Okay. Are there any questions from last week? Yeah, that might work. Any questions from last week? Because we didn't really go into history. We were all over the map answering questions. Okay. So we have gotten to the point in Jewish history where Abraham has been born, and he has, we didn't go into the conflict he had with Nimrod, but we will do that in a separate class. So essentially, this is the parasha of Lech Lecha, where Abraham he's being called Avram, but during this parasha, he becomes Abraham. But the first important aspect, and I need to read it in English. Yeah, that's fine. See if it, whatever will reduce it. We're not getting feedback, so, but obviously we're hearing my voice coming out of the other speaker. Well, there's always a slight delay. There's always a delay. If I speak here, what they hear on the conference call is a slight delay, about 3 seconds. So, actually, I haven't been doing this, but I will start today. L'shem Yehud Kudshab Rechu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu L'yakta L'shem Yudhe Bovavhe V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Konenei.
Should I say Amen after that? No. Okay. Because
the L'shem Yehud is unifying the souls. And you saying Amen is trying to do something more than unity. Unity is the goal. If people will think about what happens after the Mashiach, that we are told, and I'm going to use this as a teaching, we are told that the Mashiach, when the Mashiach comes, it means that the global tikkun is coming to an end, and that there will be no change in the world except Israel will no longer be under the pressure or the control of the other nations. But then there is a process. If all the souls are in the world, there's no need for any more children. But that will not happen immediately because we are told there's no change in the world, except for Israel not being under the pressure of the other nations. So there's a process over the 1,000 years. And at some point, the string of souls, which is a term that I've heard but it's very rarely used, the string of souls will have to find each other, because you will have human bodies that are activated by one component of a person's soul out of the 613 parts of their soul, because that body was involved with that part of the soul reaching its tikkun. But how do these people find each other? How do they unify? That's one of the aspects of the 1,000 years of peace. That's my opinion. I haven't read it anywhere. I haven't heard it from a teacher. But if you think about it, there's got to be truth to that. So back to Avram. And the sentence is, and it's a very famous sentence, and you've all heard it. Hashem said to Avram, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and curse whomever curses you. And all families of the earth will be blessed through you. Why do you need to say bless and blessed and blessed? I'll point out the words, the blessings in it. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. This is what Avram was told to do. First off, he's not circumcised. So it's not Hashem speaking to him. It's Shaddai. Shaddai is the name that's active in Yesod of Zerantim. Shaddai is the name that is used in the mezuzah. Shaddai is the name that said to the universe, enough. Stop expanding. What does it mean? What was Avram supposed to do? He could leave his country. Leave your father's house. But who left with him according to the Midrash? His nephew, Lot, and his nephew. Sarah went with him. But also his father went with him. Terach went with him. But they stayed for a while in Haran, which is partway on the trip. And Terah, if he had not died, would have gone there. Now that's a physical discussion. Why did Terah die? Was his tikkun complete? He had done teshuvah, or Abraham wouldn't have gone with him. Terah was running away from Nimrod. Nimrod is this king who the Ari tells us is Nebuchadnezzar is a reincarnation of Nimrod. So these are two very negative people. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry I'm late. I've had to be somewhere. I'm going to mute.
Not a problem. We've just been about 5 minutes into the class. We're talking about Abraham, and actually Abram, and what God told him to leave his nation, his father's house, and we're asking questions about why there's three words of blessing in the same verse, or in the first couple of verses. So the Nimrod, according to the Ari, is a reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar is a reincarnation of Nimrod. These are the two negative people in the world doing the same thing. What are they doing? They are fighting with God. They are in conflict with God. They do not want to be controlled by God. They don't want to accept that Hashem gives them what they receive. They are the essence of, I make everything happen in my life, which is different than what Judaism teaches. Judaism teaches Hashem provides you the tools and gives you free choice to do what you will with those tools. Judaism teaches Hashem essentially wants you to do the right decisions at the right time, in the right location, with the right kavanah, the right intention. But he doesn't really care if you do or you don't. He doesn't stop your food if you don't. He doesn't stop the air from going in your lungs if you don't. So is he really involved in your life? And the answer is only if you let him in. But if you don't let Hashem in, you create an empty space. And there is no empty space in the universe. Which means Satan comes into any empty space. Why does Hashem tell Abram, which means father of nations, or father of many nations? Why does Hashem say, leave your father's house?
This is negative.
First off, we have to remember house has many meanings. You think of a house as a building that you live. In our case, we think of it as living in this independent living apartments. We think of it as living in this building. But a house means your wife, your spouse, your significant other. In the case of someone whose wife has passed and they haven't remarried, like myself, means our daughters. They have the permission of our cosmic soulmate to motivate our changes. And it's not just women in today's generation, because women in today's generation are in the process of growing from the level of the moon, to the level of the sun. When Mashiach arrives, we will know that that has taken place, and then together they will grow seven times, which is an indication supporting the earlier discussion of the unity that must be created during the 1,000 years. So the question we're asking is, why does Hashem say, leave your house? And what happens when Miriam says, how can you leave Zipporah? She's entitled to her marriage, to her marital rights, but she's entitled to certain things. How can you leave her? What happened to her? But she didn't listen to these words. Are we supposed to leave our spouses? What happens in the world as a practical matter? Who dies first, men or women?
Mm-hmm.
Why do women stay around if their role in this world is to correct their husbands, and their husbands die? What does it mean? Well, it means that their husband wasn't their soulmate, their cosmic soulmate, and it also means that there's still work for that woman to do. What is that work? In this generation, it's to grow to be the sun, the level of the sun. But again, we're asking the question, we're not answering the question. Why does Hashem say, leave your father's house? Who's the father's house? The father's house is heaven. The father's house is Hashem. That sentence is talking about the soul. It's time for you to leave heaven, or the place of where you're sitting, and go into the physical body. But that's just one of the 70 explanations. Why do we not really know the name of Abram's mother? We do have an indication of it, but we don't. It's from the Midrash. We don't really know the name of Abram's mother. We have wonderful Midrashim, beautiful. He was in the cave with his mother, and he walked outside, and that's when God started to teach him, after he left his mother. What it's saying, in my opinion, and I think it's a rational opinion, is we need to communicate directly with Hashem. You leave your father's house. You leave heaven to come to the body. You leave your father's house because your father represents the society that he has chosen to live in. It's the culture that he has chosen to live in. Obviously, he made that decision with his spouse, with his significant other, whatever term we wish to use. But he's left. Doesn't mean I should follow my father. What was wrong with the Middle Ages? Why is it called the Dark? What is it, the Dark Ages? Yeah. Well, Hashem was there. The church was growing. The church was there. It was teaching the Esther Dibrot. Now, as Jewish people were taught to dislike the church, does that mean it's correct? Is Judaism the word of God?
Yes.
You're going to have difficulty with my answer. Is Judaism the word of God? There's no word for religion in the Torah, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So how can Judaism be the word of God?
Because they follow the commandments.
Because we follow men who were higher spiritually than we are. But still, Judaism as a religion is not the word of God. It's the word of men. Am I saying to you, do not listen to the rabbis? Of course not. Am I saying to you, do you have to follow everything the rabbis say? In this generation, the Zohar is very clear. The rabbis of this generation, the root of their souls is in the Arab Rav. Does it mean that they shouldn't be listened to? No. Arab Rav are the people who left Egypt with Moshe that were not ready to become Jews. They were not ready to become converts to the children of Israel. They left because, what an amazing miracle we saw. This is a powerful God. Let's go after them and become part of them. Not for the right reasons. And Judaism constantly questions any convert. Are you coming to us for the wrong reason? That's why the barriers are erected to the convert. Don't come to us. It's really uncomfortable being a Jew. It's too difficult being a Jew. You really don't want this. And this is said in many different ways to each individual person. But the issue is coming from this location in the Torah. God is told, before I forget, I want to be sure I'm covering the first one before I do the second one, although we've been talking about the second one. Actually, the third one. Leave your country. Leave your people. What does country mean? Last count, I read that there's 205 nations. So it can't be a nation. When it says leave your people, it's talking about a nation. Leave your country. Where is your country? It's your physical location. Where were you born? I was born in Los Angeles. What does that teach me? The gematria of Los Angeles is 240 in Hebrew letters. 240 is the gematria of the Hebrew word suffix. Translation, doubt. Kabbalah explains, why is the entertainment capital of the world in Hollywood? Because Hollywood and Los Angeles represent a test of doubt. It's an illusion that Hollywood creates. Who are people following? Who are the leaders of the society? Basketball players, baseball players, entertainment people, an actress, an actor. Do you know who the directors are? Do you pay attention to the directors? Do you pay attention to the producers? They're all Jewish, yes.
I don't pay attention to people either.
No, I know you don't, but the society does. And this is the issue. This is Jewish history. God is saying to us, Hashem is saying to us, Jewish history is this veil. Your location where you're born is going to teach you about the tikkun that you have in this lifetime. The location that you move to is going to teach you about the tikkun that you have. Avram had a tikkun to choose one God over many gods. I haven't done Atlanta. All I can tell you is that I was a slave owner in a previous lifetime, and I'm very much aware that that's part of my tikkun. Is that true of all of us? I can't answer you. I have no need to do the gematria. If you want me to do the gematria, we can do it together. Just not, let's not stop the class for that. So if you look on my website, I was in Phoenix. I was in Tucson. I was in Lubbock. I was in Waco. And I did the tikkun of all of those places because I didn't know where I was going to settle. My daughter and her husband chose Atlanta. She got a job at Temple Sinai. He got a job, or it's the company he was working for in California allowed him to transfer here and maintain the same status. So they chose this place. When I arrived, I was ready to move on. I was actually going to go to visit them by staying in the, what's, there's a city, Macon. I was going to go, it's an hour and a half away. I was going to live in a hotel, a weekly hotel in Macon that was the lowest cost of anything around because Atlanta was too expensive. I got here after being arrested in Tennessee for driving erratically. Found out that my license had been, my license had expired, so there's no way they can allow you to, they have to arrest you. So my daughter and son-in-law came up, and I was now living in the basement of their new house. And within a few months, my daughter had arranged for me to be here in this building. And then she said, I don't want you to leave. So for whatever reason, I'm here. It is part of my tikkun. But if you ask me, where do you live? I don't live in Atlanta. How can I make that statement? Because I never leave this building. I go to two doctors outside of this building, a podiatrist and a cardiologist. Other than that, I never leave this building. And I don't miss anything because I'm studying Torah, I'm teaching. I teach 13 hours a week. Excuse me, now it's 15 hours a week online. So for me, this is... I live in Israel, because when I'm teaching, where do you think I am? Now, people will have great difficulty thinking that where you live is something different than where you physically live. But when you are taught to lay tefillin as an Orthodox man, and I was an Orthodox man for about a half an hour, for about 2 years at most. When you are an Orthodox man, you are taught to lay tefillin. You must put yourself in Israel. Otherwise, you can't lay tefillin.
By laying tefillin, you're putting yourself in Israel?
You have to. The Holocaust says, to lay tefillin, you must be in Israel.
Define tefillin.
Tefillin is the...
Okay, that's what I was thinking. But
Delay to fill in.
On the same page.
We're on the same page. Delay to fill in, you have to be in Israel. Why? Because what are the tefillin? They're an antenna for the energy of chesed. And you cannot reveal the light of chachma, the light of wisdom, without having a vessel composed of the light of chesed. That's the purpose of being in Israel when you lay tefillin. It's an antenna to draw the energy of chesed, the light of chesed.
I just enjoy spending time with
you. I'm not sure you'd enjoy it so much now. What are they telling you to do? What are the rabbis telling you to do that live in Israel?
Oh, to go back.
And why?
Because we're all supposed to be there.
Why? Because you have to be back in the land of Israel in order for us to bring Mashiach. Do you have to physically be in the land of Israel to bring Mashiach? Well, are they giving you that information?
They're not really saying anything about that, you know. But it's just when I'm quiet and meditating, that's where I go.
Of course. Thank Baruch Hashem. But this is not a religious class, so I can't really expound on that.
Yes, we would all walk out if you did.
I had a rabbi thing, and when they had to come here, I think her husband needed to do something for the father. She took dirt with her from Israel,
mm-hmm.
and she put it in one corner, which is, that's Israel.
The Chabad Rebbe was asked many times, but one answer was recorded. Why don't you come to Israel and stay? Why don't you move to Israel? We need you in Israel, was what the person was saying.
We need him more here.
That wasn't what his answer was. His answer was, if I go to Israel, I can only stay 30 days. Otherwise, I have to stay there permanently. And if I stay there permanently, the people are not ready for the light that I would reveal. And in another answer, he did say, because the people need to be elevated in the exile in order to bring the Mashiach.
So was he also saying people out of Israel were ready for what he had to reveal?
I think what he was doing was to be answering everybody's questions and their spirit.
The light that he revealed was to send out the shliachs. The gatherers, the people who set up the Chabad houses in every city of the world, almost.
And thank God for them.
Again, you have to evaluate that because there are certain members of the Shliach that are doing this, but not all, many are doing excellent work. But the Rebbe told them, reach out to Jews. Bring Jews closer to the light, to Hashem. But is that the goal? The Orthodox communities, the various cultural, are saying that the Jews are be-all and end-all of everything. The Jews must control. The Jews must do the actions. But it's important that the non-Jew also does the seven mitzvot. in today's culture, we all live in physically in the United States. Is the court system in the United States fair and just? So the United States is not living according to the seven Noahide laws. That's not easy for people to hear. Because it's not the way you were raised in school. It's not what you were taught in school. And you don't question that. Just as the people, the Jewish people who are taught in the synagogues and in their preparation for their bar mitzvahs, they're not taught, you know, the flooded story is taught as a child. Abraham, when we talk about the binding, it's taught, they're taught that there's this horrible God about to put a knife in, telling Abraham to put a knife in his son. This is what little children are taught. Is that true? When we get to it, you'll find out that Abraham was 37 years old. And he was...
Yitzhak,
I'm sorry. Abraham was 137. You think
at that time
he was, Yitzhak was born when Sarah was 90,
right?
And Abraham was 100.
Right. So he was 137.
We just don't make that connection, and you knew it, but you don't make the connection because we don't think for ourselves, and that's the purpose of this class. Is to give you these questions to think for yourself, to understand some of the 70 explanations of the Torah, because it's all related to Jewish history.
Yeah, that's what I love when you say services, that, you know, how many different traditions there are and everything else, because I think most people expect the tradition to be what they know.
Correct. And you have to start to break down those klipot, those limitations that we create for ourselves. Because how do you bring Mashiach? There's two ways. You cleanse yourself or you grow yourself. When you cleanse yourself, it's as if you've grown, because the level that you're at becomes more pure. When you grow yourself, you literally elevate to a higher level, a higher frequency in the modern terminology.
Yeah.
Yes?
Even Israel, I feel that Israel is
there's a lot of...
I believe you're mentioning the Satmar as the group. They not only do not believe in the modern state of Israel, they fight against the modern state of Israel.
They have to be thrown by...
No, I've heard that before. I just haven't heard it. They fight against. Can you give me an example of how that manifests itself?
It manifested itself in their Rebbe saying no one should immigrate to Israel. It manifested in their Rebbe funding I don't want to say Arab terrorists, but they helped to fund certain good deeds in the West Bank and in Gaza. That's how it's manifested. I'm not saying that that's against Israel. It's against the modern state of Israel.
I would say at least the majority are not observant.
The majority of
the people in Israel.
Actually, it's only 20% are Orthodox, and there's no such thing as Reform or conservative.
Yeah, because they want to.
So
definitely,
definitely, that's been documented through their polls. Getting back to the question, what does it meaning? Leave your country means leave your location. Leaving your people means leaving your nation. We're not talking about physical nations. We're talking about spiritual nations. We're talking about the 70 nations, but it's actually 72 nations. Don't get confused with whether it's 70 or 72. A nation is a group of people with a similar desire to receive. Do I want exactly the same thing you want? But on one level, we all want to bring Mashiach. Or do we? I can't speak for you. But I'm not asking for you to determine that for yourself. But in order to know if we are the same nation, do you have your bag packed, ready to go? What are you physically doing, spiritually doing, to bring Mashiach? How are you bringing the people around you to be connected that way? These are the questions that you need to ask first yourself. But what is a similar desire to receive? It creates a nation. And we are taught that it takes 600,000 males, 600,000 females, and some amount of children that the estimate is 2.5 each. So 3 million people is what it takes to be a nation. But today, a person from the desert, from the Exodus, is probably 25 people today. That's totally an estimate, totally a guess. Nobody knows. There are approximately 15 million Jewish people in the world. There was the Torah tells us exactly, I haven't memorized it, how many men were in the tribe of Judah? 30,000? 40,000? Put the relationship together. How do you get 15 million or 13 million from 30,000? It's at least 100 people for each of those. Of course, the 13 million includes women, and the 30,000 is only the men. So you can, but we don't know how many people have completed their tikkun. What is the goal? There are two prophets in our history. One is named Moses and one is named Bilam. Moses is a unity of all of the people who want to choose spirituality over physicality. Not that they reject physicality, but their priority is spirituality. Bilam is a prophet that chooses physicality over spirituality. They can't reject spirituality because they're connecting to Elohim. But understanding that those are the two goals. And people in this generation are choosing those aspects. When you have the sin of Adam, what did you bring in to the world? Death. What did you bring into yourselves, ourselves? We brought selfishness. We have mixed selfishness, we have mixed helping others, we have mixed all of this consciousness. This is where Hashem is hiding. He's concealing himself. And in the next number of years until the Mashiach, it is our job to separate from those people. How do you separate? How do you unify? You have to find your nation. But in order to find your nation, you must leave your nation. Leave your people. Why? Because Hashem will not talk to you like he talks to Avram as long as the Klipah, as long as other people are creating this disturbance within you. Before I came here today, I was invited to lunch to talk politics with somebody. It's not my orientation. Politics is physicality. Are they wrong? No. I'm right and they are also right. It's just not my path. The separation must take place. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's house. And I believe that's that time. Well, if you'll forgive me, since I didn't take diuretics for 2 days, I'm going to excuse myself and I will extend the class. So feel free to talk to yourself. Know that you're
well,
going
to go to the other building. I talk to me.
So we're going to call it. So
you.
Do the task. Blame it on you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all.
I don't feel I need to blame anyone.